What about it? Said Fulham. I applied it. Among other things, I applied it to this document here. I didn't really need to for myself because I knew what it was all about, but I think I can explain it more easily to 5 physical scientists by symbols rather than by words. Hardin removed a few sheets of paper from the pad under his arm and spread them out. I didn't do this myself, by the way, he said. Muller Hulk of the Division of Logic has his name signed to the analyses, as you can see. Piren leaned over the table to get a better view, and Hardin continued. The message from Anacreon was a simple problem, naturally, for the men who wrote it were men of action rather than men of words. It boils down easily and straightforwardly to the unqualified statement, when in symbols is what you see, and which in words, roughly translated, is, you give us what we want in a week, or we beat the hell out of you and take it anyway. There was silence as the 5 members of the board ran down the line of symbols, and then Perrin sat down and coughed uneasily. Hardin said, no loophole, is there, Dr. Perrin? Doesn't seem to be. All right. Hardin replaced the sheets. Before you now, you see a copy of the treaty between the Empire and Anacreon. A treaty, incidentally, which is signed on the Emperor's behalf by the same Lord Dorwin who was here last week. And with it, a symbolic analysis. The treaty ran through 5 pages of fine print, and the analysis was scrawled out in just under half a page. As you see, gentlemen, something like 90% of the treaty boiled right out of the analysis as being meaningless, and what we end up with can be described in the following interesting manner. Obligations of Anacreon to the Empire? None. Powers of the Empire over Anacreon? None. Again, the 5 followed the reasoning anxiously, checking carefully back to the treaty, and when they were finished, Perrin said in a worried fashion, that seems to be correct. You admit, then, that the treaty is nothing but a declaration of total independence on the part of Anacreon and a recognition of that status by the Empire? It seems so. And do you suppose that Anacreon doesn't realize that and is not anxious to emphasize the position of independence so that it would naturally tend to resent any appearance of threats from the Empire? Particularly when it is evident that the Empire is powerless to fulfill any such threats, or it would never have allowed independence.